Good morning. My name is Deidra, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mercury General First Quarter Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. This conference call may contain comments and forward-looking statements based on current plans, expectations, events, and financial and industry trends, which may affect Mercury General's future operating results and financial position. Such statements involve risks and uncertainties which cannot be predicted or quantified and which may cause future activities and results of operations to differ materially from those discussed here today. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Gabriel Tirador. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I would like to welcome everyone to Mercury's First Quarter Conference Call. I'm Gabe Tirador, President and CEO. On the phone, we have Mr. George Joseph, Chairman, Ted Stalick, Senior Vice President and CFO, and Chris Graves, Vice President and Chief Investment Officer. Before we take questions, we will make a few comments regarding the quarter. Our first quarter operating earnings were $0.87 per share compared to $0.07 per share in the first quarter of 2018. The improvement in operating earnings was primarily due to a reduction in the combined ratio and an increase in after-tax investment income. The combined ratio was 97.3% in the first quarter of 2019 compared to 103.8% in the first quarter of 2018. The improvement in the combined ratio was primarily due to lower unfavorable reserve development in the quarter compared to the first quarter of 2018. Unfavorable reserve development was $1 million in the quarter compared to $43 million in the first quarter of 2018. Rainstorms in California negatively impacted our homeowner results in the quarter, resulting in more than a 50% increase in homeowner claims reported compared to the first quarter of 2018. Gross catastrophe losses, primarily from the California rainstorms, were $11 million in the quarter compared to $9 million in the first quarter of 2018. Gross catastrophe losses of $11 million in the quarter were reduced to $5 million as we recorded $6 million in favorable reserve development from prior year's catastrophe losses. Excluding the impact of unfavorable reserve development, catastrophe losses, and ceded reinstatement premiums earned, the combined ratio was 95.2% in the first quarter of 2019 compared to 97% in the first quarter of 2018. To improve our combined ratio, we have been increasing rates in most states. In California, a 6.9% personal auto rate increase for California Automobile Insurance Company was implemented in March 2019, and a 6.9% personal auto rate increase for Mercury Insurance Company will be implemented in May of 2019. Collectively, these represent two-thirds of company-wide direct premiums earned. In addition, a 6.9% rate increase in our California homeowners line is pending approval from the California Department of Insurance. California homeowners premiums represent about 13% of direct company-wide premiums earned. The expense ratio was 24.8% in the first quarter compared to 25.5% in the first quarter of 2018. The lower expense ratio was primarily due to a decrease in acquisition costs, primarily from lower average commissions and cost efficiency savings. Premiums written grew 6.4% in the quarter, primarily due to higher average premiums per policy and an increase in homeowners' policies written. With that brief background, we will now take questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And you do have a question from the line of Christopher Campbell with KBW.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Morning, Chris.
I guess my first question is just I'm trying to understand all the math behind the subrogation sale of the fire receivables. So I guess could you just walk us through the math on that? Like how much were the cats impacted this quarter? How much were the reserves? And then premium growth? Because I think it's just I'm trying to make sure that I'm not double counting the, you know, parts of the $10 million pre-tax benefit within, like, the cats and reserves.
Sure. I'll go ahead and ask Ted, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, Chris. So we had $1 million of adverse development for the quarter. That includes $6 million of favorable development from the cats from 2017 and 2018 cats. The $10 million benefit is reinstatement premiums, a reduction in reinstatement premiums, and also includes that the benefit from the favorable development on those cats.
Okay, got it. So it's really just, okay, so one way to think about it is it's $11 million in cats this quarter if we just, you know, factor in what's happening with the storms, and then if we treat the adverse development, or if we treat the subro sale as favorable development, then that gets you your $1 million adverse, because it would have been $7 million absent that benefit this quarter. Is that the right way to think about it?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And then there would be an additional $4 million pre-tax benefit from the benefit of lower reinstatement premiums, correct?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Well, I think the benefit this quarter was $1.9 million from the reinstatement premiums. We would have normally booked a $7.8 million in a quarter, and I think we booked $5.8 in a quarter. So the benefit in reinstatement premiums earned, I believe, was about $1.9 million.
Okay. And then where would the balance of the, I guess it would be $2 million, right? Because you have the $6 million of favorable reserve development, about $1.9 million, round that up to $2 million for the lower reinstatement premiums. So where does the other $2 million fall in the financials?
What do you mean the other $2 million?
Well, I'm thinking in the press release you had there was a $10 million pre-tax benefit from the subrogation sale of the receivables.
Okay.
Yeah, so if I subtract out the $6 million of you know, favorable reserve development that you got from selling those, and then the $2 million of reinstatement premiums, there's a balance of $2
million. Ted, do you know what the answer is?
Yeah, we have the combination of the reinstatement and the favorable development is the $10
million. Okay. Got it. Great. And then just, I guess, you know, kind of more big picture California homeowners market after the recent fires. I guess just, you know, how it sounds like you've got a 6.9% rate increase in the hopper. So I guess just, you know, beyond that, do you have like additional rate increases you're thinking about? And is there any regulatory risk that you may not be able to achieve those planned rate increases if the California DOI becomes concerned about homeowners insurance affordability out there?
Well, as I mentioned on the prepared remarks, you know, we have a 6.9 that has been pending for some time now, and, you know, we're expecting that to come to a closure soon. We do expect to probably be filing after that 6.9 is approved. You know, with respect to whether or not the Department of Insurance would approve that, you know, they have a pretty formulaic process with a template that, you know, you insert your figures in that template, and if those figures, you know, if the output produces a rate increase, then you can take a rate increase. So, you know, at this point, we basically take a look at our indications on a quarterly basis. We have not yet finished our first quarter indications. We'll be meeting on that in the next couple of weeks, and taking a look at it. I would expect that we would probably file again, though, after that quarterly indication meeting.
Okay, got it. And then would you want to file immediately, or I guess, like, how would the upcoming reinsurance renewals and any changes you might be making to the program or any potential rate increases that you could see, how would the renewal of that reinsurance program factor into the timing that you would be looking at filing for an additional?
It would not, really. It would not. It would be independent. We would file independently of whatever happens with the reinsurance.
Got it. And then I guess just what changes are you thinking about for the program, like as you're getting into, you know, closer to?
Well, we think that the $300 million, extra $200 million that we're going to purchase, more of that layer for certain. We're pretty sure we'll be buying more of that layer. How much more, I don't know. Actually, Ted and our chief actuary and our chief underwriter are in the process. They're going to be going out meeting with reinsurers pretty soon here. Ted, do you have any other comments on that?
No, just that we'll be, we are planning on buying more limit than we currently have, but we're kind of just starting the process right now with the reinsurers.
Okay. Got it. And then, auto rate increases, you got a 6.9 in Cal Auto, 6.9 in Mercury. I guess as these get implemented, do you guys have any more rates that you're looking to take in those lines?
I think after these two, I think we feel pretty good, to be honest with you, Chris, where we're at after these two. With the caveat that, we take a look at our rates every quarter. And if we see that we need rate need, we'll go ahead and take it. But we feel pretty good right now after the 6.9 that we just got with MIC and the 6.9 in Cal Auto as well. We'll monitor it every quarter, but I will say at this point that I don't anticipate like filing right away in those two lines because we feel pretty good where we're at.
Okay. Now, do you feel good in just terms of the frequency, severity, pure premium trends you're seeing in auto? Should we expect it more to you guys to more pivot towards growth at this stage?
Yes, I would say so. There's been less rate action going on in the industry too, more recently. So, when you take a look at our underlying combined ratio in our auto or private passenger auto in California, we feel pretty good where we're at. Especially in light of the fact that we just got these 2.69. So, more of a growth stance.
Okay. Got it. Well, thanks for all the answers. Good luck in 2Q.
Okay, thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And again, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from the line of Samir Kari.
Hi, good morning. Just a quick question about the subrogation as well. What is the gross amount of subrogation proceeds you received, and what were the total gross loss amount for the 3 fires that the subrogation was based off of?
Ted, can you handle that?
I didn't get the first part of your question.
I was just asking about the gross amount of subrogation proceeds you received.
So the subrogation is... the assignment agreement is confidential, so we're not at liberty to discuss the terms of the agreement. The majority of the subrogation benefits went back to our reinsurers, I can tell you that.
Okay. And I just wanted to see where the balance of the balance of gross losses for the Camp Fire stands. Is that at around 200 or 201 million bucks?
After the subrogation?
Yes.
I think it's between 140 and 150.
Oh, okay.
Million.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining us this quarter, and we look forward to speaking to you next quarter. Thank you very much.
This does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.